following is an exclusive presentation of the Ultimate Hoops Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Ultimate Hoops Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alan Arlt, founder of Ultimate Hoops and Senior Director of Basketball Operations at Lifetime. The Ultimate Hoops Podcast features conversations with trusted experts in the basketball and fitness industry to educate and inspire you to keep playing basketball and never retire from the game. The Ultimate Hoops Podcast is a production of Lifetime Healthy Way of Life. New episodes are available every Friday, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. So to kick off the new season of the Ultimate Hoops Podcast, Luke and I had planned to really spend the entire episode exclusively on revealing the all-decade team for Ultimate Hoops. But as everybody knows, the basketball world changed on Sunday with the sudden tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven others in a helicopter crash near L.A. So we recorded this episode on Wednesday, January 29th, 3 days after Kobe's passing, and it still had not, sunk in that he's gone. His passing for all of us is going to take some time to process. Just a sad, tragic day for the game of basketball. So before we get in the All-Decade team, Luke and I spent some time reflecting on Kobe, what he meant to the game, to us, and our Ultimate Hoops community and players across the nation at Lifetime. So Luke and I, we talked about it beforehand and we decided, you know, we're going to pull up our bootstraps and keep moving ahead, dive in the all-decade team, and really use it as a way to small way in honoring Kobe's legacy. For me, Kobe loved the game. I think it was very evident for anybody who watched him, met him, saw him. He loved every part of it, every detail. And I believe Kobe would want us to keep going, to keep honoring the game. He was always about motivating himself and others to be the best basketball player and the best versions of themselves. And his passing at such a young age is sadly, in my mind, is really his greatest motivational gift ever. The gift is perspective. You never know when the game and your life will cease. So live like Mamba. Live every moment. Play hard in every game. Play hard in every practice. Every 3 a.m. session that Kobe loved to do in the gym by yourself, just play hard. When you think you can't push yourself any harder, think of Kobe. Hear his voice. Keep pushing, keep playing. Okay, let's get started. Welcome to the new season of the Ultimate Hoops Podcast. Okay, Luke, well, we had... this episode all set up and planned by last Saturday night, and something happened on Sunday. Something I still haven't processed yet. I don't know about you, but you know, we're talking about obviously the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others in a helicopter crash in California on Sunday. Recording this on Wednesday, so it's been 3 days. I guess for you, like, where were you? When did you hear about it? Like, I guess let's start there.
Yeah. So I was driving around a little bit around the city. Got back to my apartment right before around 2 o'clock, and I was about to put on the Minnesota Michigan State game. Because, you know, big Gopher fan, went to the U, obviously. And then, my phone was blowing up. I had a bunch of texts from high school buddies, a couple of my friends that I play pickup now with. And, you know, saw that the first text I saw just a guy that said Kobe and then like three crying emojis. I'm like, well, I don't know what that could mean, especially because he was, you know, so ever present in the news because LeBron had just passed him on Saturday night. And then, you know, my brother was the first one to actually come out and say, he said, just straight up, Luke, Kobe Bryant just died. And I was like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Yeah. I mean, like you said, you still haven't fully processed. It still doesn't totally feel real. But you start going on Twitter, you see everything coming in. Right before the Gopher game started, you know, Jim Jackson was doing the broadcast, who played in the Lakers for, I think, about a year. And, you know, he talks about Kobe quickly, and then all of a sudden you're right into the game. And just watching the game the entire time, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Like, and obviously, you know, I'm you know, whether cancel games, whatever, I'm not talking about that. But just all of a sudden watching basketball felt empty. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the game at all. I was on my phone, looking up all this stuff, and obviously the day just kept on getting worse when all the news came in, some of the counter reporting, and then, you know, it's Kobe and five others, and then it's Kobe's daughter was there, and, you know, then it's nine people, and I mean, Sunday was just, I don't know really how to describe it. It just felt like, I mean, Minneapolis has already been gray enough this winter, but like, yeah. It just felt like the whole world, especially the basketball community, just felt like a big part of it was lost. And just felt like there was a cloud over all Sunday, and really hasn't cleared up since. That was how I experienced it. But
yeah, I mean, it's similar for me. I took the girls to an indoor playground, and I was playing with them, and Mary sent me a text, and she said similar, "Did you hear about Kobe?"
Yeah.
And I wrote back, "No." And in that second, I'm thinking, okay, Mary doesn't follow basketball at all. This is obviously something that's big enough that's on Twitter. And my first instinct was, you know how you see those three dots when someone's responding back? And I'm like, Mary's about to tell me what's happening here. And I thought that she was going to come back and say, he's coming back to the NBA. Like, he's going to play. Like, LeBron just passed him. Now he's going to come back and play on the... That was my first thought. And then she told me that... She wrote back and she said, no, he's dead. He died in a... You know, he died in a helicopter crash. Mm-hmm. And I immediately, I didn't think of him, I want to get your perspective on this too. I didn't think of Kobe as, in that moment, a player. I immediately thought, and I don't know if it's because I'm a dad now, but I thought of his family. Because the other thing, the last reference I've had to Kobe Bryant was on Instagram with him and Gianna at sitting courtside at a Laker game. And I immediately thought of her, and I'm like... This is tough. I mean, I thought, oh boy, Gianna is not going to have a father anymore, and the kids. And then to find out, you know, 20 minutes later that she's gone too. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's actually somewhat of how I thought of it too. Cause I mean, he hasn't been in the NBA now for over 3 years. So clearly, you know, the championships come back to mind and the plane comes back to mind. But like you said, I mean, he was ever present as a father now with his four daughters, and especially with Gianna. So yeah, that was probably the most devastating part to think of. Not only the fact that he has daughters now that won't be able to have a father, he has a wife that won't have a husband, but that Gianna won't be able to form her legacy as a basketball player and as a person. So yeah, that certainly is what really hit home. I mean, if that was just a helicopter crash for Kobe's flying himself, I mean, this is a devastating day for everyone around the world, especially basketball fans. But the fact that it's, you know, eight others, including his own daughter, was really what made it probably the worst day in, I don't, you know, basketball history. I wasn't around for Len Bias. I wasn't around for a lot of these other ones, but it's really, you can't even put into words. And obviously we're two guys talking that didn't know Kobe Bryant. I mean, you see all the guys actually talking about him, you know, on TV and, you know, people that had personal relationships with him. And I can't imagine what they're going through, but.
Yeah. I've been talking to people the last couple of days. I was at the corporate office, Lifetime corporate office yesterday, talking to people about it. The impact that Kobe has had, you know, I've been doing Ultimate Hoops for over a decade now, and I've met a number of players, either indirectly, directly, and I always get a feel for them or ask them about the NBA or their players. And without a doubt, by far, there's not even a close second for the most influential player for our Ultimate Hoops League players. For me, it's Kobe by a mile.
No, it's
Kobe,
close.
Kobe, Kobe. The last 10 years, it's all about Kobe. And it makes sense, because what you're seeing this week is, what's great to see is all the league players wearing the Kobe stuff to the league games this week. Every region around the country, every league around the country is doing something to honor Kobe. So that's great to see. I think, you know, how we can honor Kobe and Gianna and the seven other families that lost is just to keep going. I mean, nobody personified the love of the game of basketball more than Kobe. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to speak for Kobe, but I think if it unfortunately happened to something else, I think he would find solace in going back on the basketball court and just getting back to work. And I think it was Carmelo who said that Saturday, or after he found out the news, of and they didn't know if Carmelo was going to play. And he's like, I think Kobe would want me to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good message for all of us.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that'll live on more than anything is, you know, the mama mentality of it. You know, it wasn't just basketball. Obviously, that's where 20 years of his life went to. But he was a tireless worker no matter what he was doing. I mean, obviously, you saw it with Dear Basketball winning an Oscar. You saw it with, you know, investments he was making with his company. And now with, you know, the gym he started and was, you know, with the AAU team with his daughter. He put his 100% effort into everything. And it was weird waking up on Monday because you still didn't totally feel like this had happened. And again, this is, you know, this isn't someone that we knew, but it's like, I don't really want to do a lot today. You know, there's just an empty feeling that you have, especially with the work that we do with basketball. And then you think, well, I mean, if Kobe wouldn't be waking up at 9 a.m. and being like, I'm not going to go to work today. I'm not going to put in that, you know, that grind. So it's just, yeah. it's a weird counterbalance, but obviously, yeah, like you said, to honor him, the best thing you can do is drive towards the thing that you love, towards your passions. And that's what I try to do with Ultimate Hoops every single day.
Yeah. Great, man. Well said. So, again, thoughts and prayers to all the victims' families involved. Just a terrible, tragic day for basketball. That's going to, as you said in the beginning, leave a cloud, forever across the basketball landscape. But, you know, I think we just got to keep playing, keep moving ahead. Mm-hmm. So thanks for talking about it, Luke.
Yeah, 100%.
This has helped me. All right, let's take a little break and then we'll come back and talk about the All-Decade team. Hey, it's Alan back again to talk about the Ultimate Hoops League. At Ultimate Hoops, we believe everyone can play basketball, and the Ultimate Hoops Adult Recreational League is the home court for anyone looking to play. With our different tiers for all skill levels and all ages, recorded stats, and championship banners, the Ultimate Hoops League has grown into the largest recreational basketball league in the nation. Interested in getting in the game? Learn more about how you can join at uhlife.com/leagues. That's uhlife.com/leagues. Pick your league and let's roll. Welcome back. We are about to, and I'm excited, Luke. I've been thinking about this for a while. We are going to do the Ultimate Hoops All-Decade Draft. We've selected our players. I guess, Luke, I'll let you set this up for it, because there's some people who may have not read the article yet on uhlife.com. Just give us kind of an overview of what we're doing here.
Yeah, so last Friday I posted an article, again, uhlife.com/stories. You can find that piece where you had your picks for your All-Decade team. I had my picks for all my All-Decade team. And the only two rules that I'd set up just to make sure that we had some guidelines, some background here is a player must have played in 100 Ultimate Hoops games at least, and a player must have played at least one full season in 2015 or beforehand. Just to make sure that, you know, because then we could have picked like Mike Bibby, Josh Childress, you know, Jermaine Crockrell, just the all-stars.
Yes.
We really wanted to put a focus on guys who have been dedicated Ultimate Hoops players for a lot of them for the whole decade, you know, starting either 2009, 2010, or guys that even if they haven't been around the entire decade, when they did come and start playing in Ultimate Hoops, they stuck around and they've been playing, you know, ever since. And a lot of, and I think almost all these guys are still playing now. So,
And I tried to represent different regions, too. Yep. Did you do that as
well? Yeah, I had one from each region. Didn't want to go too much bias either way for one region or not. And also, just it's good to get a lot of different regions represented. And there's been plenty that have been around for 10-plus years or close to it. So that was an issue for me. Just to go through the teams quickly, I had Chase Skinkis and Mike Mastro. Chase, of course, from Las Vegas. Mike Mastro from New York, who you also had on your team.
Yep.
Also, Paris Kyle from Minnesota, Anthony Bird from Colorado, and Christian Bauer from Arizona. And then your team was?
Yeah, I had Johnny Brown from Detroit, Fred Dudley, Arizona, Ryan Jansen, Minnesota, Mike Mastro, New York, and Chase Skinkis in Vegas as well.
Mm-hmm. So then what I thought would be fun is if we ended up doing a draft where we kind of have to decide who ends up with a better team at the end of this. So there's eight players already selected. That means we'll have two at the, you know, possibly at the end or just coming up organically that will be selected as well. And then we'll let the listeners decide who has a better team, which, I mean, I already know I'm going to have one, but
we'll see here.
So first order of business is finding out who goes first. So we have a coin in front of us.
I just found that in my pocket. What's the date on that? It looks pretty old.
Let me try to find 1990.
1990. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little. It looks like it's here. No, it is 1990. So it's 5 years older than I am.
I just got that penny at Life Cafe today. Wow. So who knows where that penny's
All right. Spent. So I'll flip the coin, and since you are the founder, you're the host. I'll let you you decide on the heads or tails.
Appreciate
here.
It. All right. There it goes. Tails.
And it is tails. So
it is tails.
You can have the first pick. A lot of pressure on you. Actually, the second pick almost could be better because now you get to decide on between everyone.
Is it bad if I don't take a number one player who's not on my team?
So the thing is, before we even get to this, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit of draft strategy because I thought about that too. Like, I ended up power ranking the 10 guys that I have on, like, you know, my short list, I guess. Yeah. And I did have a couple guys that I didn't pick maybe a little bit higher than the guys I did pick. And then I was also thinking, like, well, do I want to necessarily just take guys that I feel are the best, or I want to take guys that I know that you like so I can snipe them from you, too? So I'm like, I'm kind of in between multiple worlds of where exactly I want to, you know, start off with. But you have the first pick, so you get to really set the mood here.
Well, I'm going to take Paris Kyle.
And that was going to be my first pick as well.
I mean, so in the Minnesota region, I took Ryan Jansen, and I did similar. I said, well, I know Luke's going to take Paris. Mm-hmm. I could take Paris. And I said, well, I'll take Ryan. But then, you know, in fairness to Ryan, there is, I mean, he's got just as much of a resume as Paris does. But when you look at overall basketball talent, I think Ryan would even admit that. Like, mm-hmm. there's Ryan Jansen and then there's Paris. He's just at another level. You know, all the two national champions that he's had, championships that he's had, the 303 career games, just the big moments, block or charge. Yeah. He's unanimous number one pick.
He's Ultimate Hoops royalty. And that started, I think, with Blocker Charge. I mean, he already won a national title and a national title MVP in 2012. But I mean, Blocker Charge is, even with the X over upset of Ball So Hard, it almost feels like Blocker Charge is still the biggest moment in Ultimate Hoops. And I wasn't even a part of it. But just to see the videos come out after Blocker Charge about people in New York arguing about it. And that's, you know, that's what Paris Kyle's did. And still my favorite moment from that entire video is there's so much commotion in the gym. You have Jazz Williams on the floor screaming. You have the three referees trying to decide what's going to happen here. You have just chaos. And you see Paris, he goes to the line. He's just practicing his form. He's like, I know I'm getting the call. I know I'm going to make these free throws. You guys are all, you know, arguing over nothing. You know, Gino's on the floor. You have the, you know, Ryan Little on the floor. It's like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
And of course, Paris gets the call. He goes to the line, and there's no doubt about it. He makes both, and the rest is history. So
that's why I love Paris. Yeah. Like, his focus on the court is like unmatched. He's just one. He's like a sports car. Just never really idles above. You know, he's never out of control.
He's not a roller coaster. He is straight line, like you said, never gets too high, never gets too low, doesn't talk much trash. He just lets his play doing the talking, and it talks a lot.
Yeah. So I don't want to give away my strategy real quick. So now that I have Paris, so my next selection is, how do I build a team around Paris?
100. Well, that's the guy you want to build a team around. One thing I want to mention quickly before we move on is, at least from what I've seen in person, still my favorite Paris moment, unfortunately for him, came in a loss. I don't know if you remember this game, Alan, but in the 2017 national tournament, the Bulls were the 2 seed. They played Reincarnated, the 7 seed, and Reincarnated was so low because they lost their first game, I think the Splash Brothers, that year in pool play. And I remember the Bulls afterwards were not happy they got seated up with these guys in the quarterfinals. Yeah. Of course, Reincarnated from Southern California with, you know, Josh Childress, yep. Chris Childress, Corey McGetty on that team, but Corey did not play in that game due to injury. I think Mamadou Ndiaye was on that team that year.
Was Klay Thompson's brother on that team?
No, that would have been the year before. But okay. I mean, this team is stacked.
It's loaded.
NBA talent, you know, throughout. Mm-hmm. And Paris in that game scores 41 points on 13 of 19 shootings, 13 of 17 from the free throw line. He has 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. And this is like him and Josh Childress are going head to head. I remember Izzy said before, if Paris had a few more inches, he probably could have played in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this game, and Paris must have been in, you know, 28, 29. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but I'm watching him go toe-to-toe with Josh Childress, a guy who I've seen play in the NBA, a guy who he ended up having like 36 and 13 that game. He was incredible, and they, you know, Reincarnated ends up winning. But I'm just watching that thing like, this isn't Ultimate Hoops anymore. Like, this is like an NBA game. Yeah. It was absolutely incredible. And again, Paris ended up losing, which doesn't happen often, but just to watch him go head-to-head with a guy like Josh Childress and get buckets on a guy who was, you know, 6 inches taller than him is just incredible.
I do remember that game, and it's just, it's those moments that I love because I think, you know, to see a guy like Paris and the Minnesota team, guys that I've been familiar with since day one, one in Vegas, and then two, playing against a team they've never played before, filled of NBA players. To see those guys I've known forever play against that competition is just so much, so much fun.
Paris with 41, Brenzy with 22. Brenzy, of course, always understated, but
yes, Batman and Robin.
Yeah. So now with my first pick, you, I mean, you really threw me for a loop there, because I didn't think you were going to go off your own team, but you really, you really went for it and you screwed me up. All right, I'll go with another point guard I think that can kind of run everything, and I'm going to go with Christian Bauer from Arizona. This was possibly my most controversial pick just because he started playing in the fall of 2015, so he was, you know, last man eligible, and maybe I even made this rule so I can make him eligible, but Christian Bauer has become one of my favorite players in all of Ultimate Hoops. You know, you look at the stat lines every single night from Arizona. I'm on the box scores, and you look at the top performers pages, and Bauer's name comes up almost every single week. And it's not just like, you know, it's easy to get stats in Arizona. All these guys don't play defense. There's no pace, or the pace is so absurd. Then I watched him play for private lessons in the national tournament, and he's the epitome of what I want as a point guard on my team. He's a guy that can get to the bucket anytime he wants, has that quick first step. He gets his teammates involved relentlessly, good defender, you know, has active hands on defense, and by all accounts is a great teammate. You know, every time I get to post about him on UH Arizona, it's nothing but praise for the guy. Every single person, you know, Fred Dudley even, I think, commented on the all decade team stories, like, you know, just because I have so much respect, I won't even complain that you picked Christian, but you did at least get Fred, his acknowledgement on your team. But, it's everything from that, and then to me the three draft championships is unparalleled in the past 3 years in Ultimate Hoops, considering there's 30 plus teams in these tournaments every single year or every single season, and the fact that he's won that tournament three different times. I think Adam Bickerstaff's the only person that's won twice, and both came with Christian. To get through that gauntlet three different times and come out as the top dog is just incredible, and he's always been the best player on those teams. So
I'm a huge C. Bauer fan. I love that he made your squad. For me, I had to, Arizona was Fred or Chad Klum. I had on my
completely
list too,
understandable,
but,
picks,
you know, C. Bauer, I first saw him play obviously in the national tournament, and there's some players that in a gym full of a lot of basketball players, he has this like quiet magnetism.
Yeah.
I don't know if the way he's so competitive, and he's got swag. He's got swagger 100%. On the court, and you just see the intensity that he wants to win, and you're just like, you can't stop watching him play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And it's funny because I was doing all the games with Izzy this year.
Yeah.
And that was a player that Izzy just right away. You could, I mean, I don't know if Izzy had seen him play before, maybe once or twice in a national tournament, but when actually sitting down, commentating the games, watching him, he's like, I'm in love with this guy. And he really loved everyone on private lessons, but you could tell he was an Izzy type of player. I think me and Izzy have a similar way of how we view basketball players, but I mean, he stood out. And then one last thing on him, like I said, he's been playing since fall 2015. So not as long as a lot of these other guys, you know, a lot of them have five plus more years than him. But when he plays in Gilbert this week, which I believe is tomorrow night, or actually I think it's tonight, which we're recording on Wednesday, so it'll drop Friday, he'll be at 300 career games. So in a span of less than 5 years, he's already at 300 games, which is going to make him eligible for the Hall of Fame. And just shows that he plays in two draft leagues typically. You know, he's played in the Open League a lot, plays in national tournaments 3 years in a row. I mean, this guy loves Ultimate Hoops. He loves basketball, and he's constantly playing. So that's what I love about Christian.
Yeah. So my next pick, this is close. I'm going to have to go with New York's the GOAT.
Okay.
Mike Mastro. Yeah. Especially having him play alongside Paris.
Those two would be fantastic together.
Yeah, they're so versatile. You know, they could play off each other. I could see, you know, doing high pick and pop. Mike can definitely play and pass really well out of the post, draw double teams, get it to Paris. So Mike, he was on your list. He was on my list. Just when you think of New York Ultimate Hoops, it's Mike Mastro. Shout out to Jake Asman. He's been Mike's PR agent for many years, and Anthony Leo, and it's legit. You know, I've seen Mike play now in the New York National Tournament, and he personifies New York basketball. So Mike's my pick.
Yeah, I mean, completely understandable. There's no doubt he's the best player Ultimate Hoops New York has ever seen. One thing that I had written down here in my notes is, So Mastro has a career average of 23.2 points, 15.7 rebounds, 5.9 assists.
What I love about you, Luke, you always have the data.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, you know who you're talking to here. So then I was looking this year or this season, he's playing in the SASA Draft League. He's playing the Garden City Draft League, and he's finally in the SASA Vet League. He's finally eligible to play in the Vet League. And his season averages right now, when you combine the three seasons, is 23.3 points. So 0.1 higher than his career average, 15.9 rebounds, 0.2 higher than his career average, and then 7.9 assists, which is exactly 2 higher than his career average. So he's just the epitome of consistency. And now with his Vet League numbers, those will continue to rise because, I mean, him in a Vet League is just disgusting to think about, you know, with he's already dominating draft leagues. And then he's another guy that just, you know, I mean, all these guys really do, but he's a perfect example of what Ultimate Hoops is. I mean, he's playing in three leagues right now. He's playing in two constantly. He's been in every New York national tournament. You know, he's always willing to be interviewed by Anthony, by me at national tournaments, just always wants to talk about how much he loves Ultimate Hoops, how much he's grown Ultimate Hoops, you know, with being a big ambassador in the Garden City League early on. And now he's got his son, Luca, and he said, you know, once Luca's 18, he's going to be playing in Ultimate Hoops leagues too. So, you know, absolutely perfect pick for an all-decade team.
Yeah, good. All right. You're next.
All right. So the person that I had as my number two, if the way that I wanted it, I was going to take Paris one and I was going to take Ryan Jansen two. So my Minnesota bias coming out very strong. Yeah. I'm sure everyone gets
it. The Arizona guys are going to love that.
Well, I picked an Arizona guy one. So
that's true. You checked that box early.
One of the reasons, too, is I've never personally seen, I don't know if they've ever actually played. I would love to see Paris and Jansen on the same team just for like one season to see if that would
they've
be
never
like.
Played on the same team?
As far as I know, because Paris has always had, you know, his Bulls and now. And Fridley, he plays with Minnesota Elite, which is a lot of the Bulls guys. And then Jansen's always been a Rebels guy.
Yeah.
And those, you know, Jansen's more the Bloomington South. And then now in Fridley, he's playing with Wolves. So maybe they have way back in the day, way before I was around. But I think since I've been at Ultimate Hoops, they've never been on the same team. And I mean, they would be awesome together. I saw him playing for the last season against each other in the playoffs, which was super fun to watch. But I mean, Jansen is just everything you want in a basketball player. Yep. We did a podcast earlier today, which will drop later on with Roger Johnson about who you want to play pickup with and what makes a great pickup run. And this is more about organized basketball. But like when I think of who I want to play basketball with, it's Ryan Jansen. It's someone that's a tireless worker. He's going to, you know, bust his ass on defense. He's one of the most relentless defenders I've seen in Ultimate Hoops. Makes the right play offensively. You know, he's going to get his teammates involved before he starts to shoot. And then when your team is in trouble, he can start scoring for you, really. I mean, I think he's averaged 11 points per game. People around the country probably look at his stats like, well, this guy's probably not as good as you guys are rating him to be. And I'm telling you, when you watch him in person, he's better, honestly. Because I'd always gotten the love fest from Reed. You know, I think Ryan Jansen's his favorite basketball player of all time. Don't even think Ultimate Hoops, like NBA.
Yeah, everything. I know he is.
He
yeah.
loved Jansen. And I was always like, I trust your word, but like I don't think he can be as good as you're talking about. And you watch him play, it's like, yeah, he is. He's incredible.
He is. And when I think of Ryan, and again, I had him on my team, for me, it all, when I think of Ryan Jansen, I think of the 2011 national championship in Chicago. You and I have talked about on future episodes doing oral history episodes of some of these lost moments in UH that have happened before. People do not understand. Well, a lot of people don't even think the national tournament started. They think it started in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They have no idea what the Chicago one was like, all the behind the scenes, how challenging it was to get that national tournament off the ground. And then the story behind it of this Minnesota team coming down and playing a team called Ballin in Chicago who had never lost an Ultimate Hoops game in history. Mm-hmm. Never. They were blowing teams out by 20 points. I don't want to give away the oral history, but they came down and they smacked that team in the mouth twice. They beat them in the semifinals and the finals. And for me, that was, when I think of Ryan Jansen, I think of that trip and that that time.
I mean, you look at him, I think he's 5'11", maybe. You know, not like, he doesn't look like he's in great shape. I mean, like he is, and you know, he's got good cardio. He obviously, he plays as hard as anyone, but like, you just look at him, it's like, this guy really, like he's going to beat me? And like, yeah, absolutely he will. Yeah.
Like, but him and Dustin DuPont.
Perfect.
I feel like you could throw those guys through a brick wall, literally, and they'd be like, they're like super, like back up.
They are the brick walls.
They are,
yeah,
really.
I mean, that's how they play. And yeah, they're super, super fun to watch. I would love to play with Ryan any single time. So
yeah, good pick. Okay, I am going to take for my next pick. I got to take Johnny okay. Brown out of Detroit. I think he fits well with this team. I think Johnny is the Giannis of this squad.
Really?
Okay, I know. Yeah.
Well, he's not 7 feet like Giannis, but I can see where you're going with this.
I feel like Johnny can play all five positions, and I think a lot of these shorthanded Detroit National Tournament teams, he's had to play all five positions, but he's good at everything. I think you had a stat in here, too. He's one of the only player in Ultimate Hoops that ranks top 15 in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Mm-hmm. He can guard a five. He can play the five. He can play the one. He's just so versatile. He's super competitive. Great teammate. He doesn't care if he scores a lot. He can, but I just see him fitting in perfectly with this team. Johnny, when I think of Johnny, I think of Detroit. Obviously, there's McKenzie and Vaughn Gray and other guys there, too. But when I think of Detroit basketball, it all starts with me with Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not only that he fits into your team with Paris and Mastro. He fits in any team in Ultimate Hoops. I mean, you could put him on a team like Balsa Hard with all their talent, and he'd find a way to fit in and get some kind of valuable minutes there. You could put him on a team that has me and, you know, four other guys that are like me, and you put him on that team, and now all of a sudden he's putting up 30 a game because we can't score, so he's going to have to do it.
Yeah.
That stat just blew my mind. And I always knew he was, you know, he had had a decent amount of blocks, but I was like, he's top 15 in blocks, and he's 6 feet, 6'1". Absolute beast of a player, and also just brings the most swagger of anyone into a UH gym.
Oh, yeah. He's the best dress, best shoes, best Instagram game. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the celebrity of UH.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring me a lot of star power.
Yeah, and he's a little similar to Paris, like, where he's pretty quiet on the floor. Doesn't have the most, like, audacious ego or anything, but, like, every time he walks into a gym, you know it. And that's certainly felt in Green Valley during these national tournament weekends. We have everyone from Ultimate Hoops. You know, we have NBA players, and it's still, like, people want to go talk to Johnny. He's just that kind of guy.
Yep.
All right. So, all right, I'm going to go with someone who was on neither of our teams. He was a guy that I had considered, but, you know, I had had a person from this region selected. Again, there was no one that was going to replace Mike Mastro in New York, but Tunde Ogunleye is going to be my next pick, who is a consistent player in the Westchester League. Again, just like Christian Bauer, he started playing in the winter of 2015, so he's been around for 5 years now.
Just made the cut.
Just made the cut. Yep. He was at least playing. He was playing all of 2015. But with Tunde, he's you know, right on that precipice of one of the best players in all of Ultimate Hoops when you watch him play. And that translates at any single level. What did I have written down here? What's really interesting about Tunde is, like I said, he's super consistent. I think he averages just over 30 a game, or about 27 a game, but it's like a little over 30 in the draft league, a little under 30 in the open league. And then in the national tournament level, he's played at all three national tournaments with FMB, just winning the last one in New York. And he's at around 17 a game. So it's, you know, his number's going down a little bit, but he's thriving against the best competition that we have in Ultimate Hoops. So his worst seasons by each division. So in the draft league, his worst scoring season ever was 30 points a game. Wow. And his worst shooting season was 55% from the field. In the open league, his worst scoring percentage or scoring number was 21.5 points. Worst shooting was 49% from the field. And then in the national tournament, it was his debut tournament in 2017, 15.8 points, 49% shooting from the field. So those are like his basement. And then there's high ceilings, too. He was an absolute monster this year in the national tournament, right alongside MVP Spencer Smith. A lot of times when he was on the floor, you just knew he was the best guy. Kind of like Johnny Brown, similar where, you know, 6 feet tall maybe, but just freak athlete who's going to be able to guard anyone defensively, can get buckets on anyone. This is where I'm just like, I'm trying to make the best team, and I'm going to try to get one of the best players. And I think Tunde is one of the best players in all of Ultimate Hoops.
Sneaky, sneaky pick.
I know, it really was.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, my next pick, I got to take Fred Dudley.
Okay.
Arizona.
100%.
I think he, you know, I have Paris and Johnny, two cool guys, showing no emotion on the floor. Mastro, he's a New York guy. You know he'll get fired up a little bit. But then there's Fred Dudley. Like, he'll give my team a spark. He brings great energy. He brings passion. And his stat, which I saw here, and I had to go double check it, 26.2 points for his career, and he's shooting 51% for his career. Mm-hmm. And this Fred doesn't shoot layups. No. I mean, he can, yeah. But he shoots mid-range, long three-point shots, and just how long he's played. To shoot at 51% for your career, I was stunned by that, which is amazing. Congrats, Fred. And then the other part, him winning his first national championship last year in Vegas. I was so happy for him. Something that he's been working for, being a part of that X-Over team. It's just, I'm happy for Fred. I love the way he plays. And I think he's a perfect fit for my squad.
Yeah, you mentioned not shooting a lot of layups. So he averages 19.4 field goal attempts per game over the course of his career, 359 games. He's taking 10.1 threes a game. So over half of his shots have been from beyond the arc. And he's not a smaller guy. He's about 6'3", 6'4". But yeah, I mean, he's a sharpshooter. He can score in so many different ways. Like I said in the article, I mean, doesn't matter what league he's playing in, doesn't matter what gym he's in, doesn't matter who's on his team, who he's playing against. Like, he's gonna get buckets. And it's interesting too, because at certain national tournaments, we've seen him be the guy on his team where he's putting up 20 plus a game. I think his high in a game in a national tournament is 38 points, which not many guys have reached. But then on that X-Over team, like you mentioned, like he's just spotting up. He's like, I'll be the heat check guy. You know, Tevin, you're gonna get your points. You know, Travis, you're gonna get your points. You guys are our mainstays. You know, even Dwayne Pettis a little bit here and there. But like when you guys need me, I'll be ready. And against Balsora, I think he had 13 points in the first half. Completely, I think they had, you know, the lead at the first half kind of helped them out there. And then the championship game, he has 21 against Neverov Work, and fully deserved that national title, like you said, was a huge part of that X-Over team. And they severely missed him in New York. I mean, obviously they didn't have Tevin too, but that's a main scorer that's not on your team. And certainly the best scorer in Arizona and easily one of the best in all of Ultimate Hoops. And like you said, that personality, you need a little bit of fire on your team. So, I mean, these guys are all killers, but Fred will let you know that he kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred will put butts in the seats.
100%. 100%. All right. So now I got to look through my list and go on the fly here. I need some size.
Are you going to pull out another wild card?
No. Well, okay. No. So you already took Mastro from me. So he was really I was hoping I can get him to be my stretch five. you know what? I'll still go with the smaller guy because I'm confident in his abilities to guard bigger guys, and that's Chase Kinkis out of Las Vegas. Yeah. And I figured you were probably circling him for your last pick, so I wanted to be mean and really take him from you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's cold.
Yeah. Well, so Chase is someone who, again, he's a lot like a few of these guys we talked about, where he's not stat oriented. He cares about his wins, and while he doesn't, you know, score at will, he absolutely has the capabilities of and has done it many times. He's one of my favorite point guards in all of Ultimate Hoops. Just one of my favorite players, because he's going out there and his only thought, it seems like, is what am I doing to help my team win? Just like Jansen, just like Paris, just like a lot of these guys, really wants to get his teammates involved, wants to set up shots, he'll set screens, off ball screens, plays phenomenal defense. Again, I have a small team here, but I've seen Chase defend guys that are 6 inches taller than him. He was guarding Carlos Valdez in the New York tournament a couple of years ago. He's got 6-7 inches on him, and guys can't back him down. And clearly, when you see him, you know why. He's a big guy, works out constantly, is not going to be bullied by anyone in the post. And then, of course, you know, you have the dunks, you have the high flying alley oops, you have just the flair of his game. A very fun player to watch, and just someone who, it's just another guy I want to put on any single team, and I think he's going to make them better.
I really want to chase him myself.
I know. I had to pull the trigger on that
one. Yeah, no, Chase is, you know, I think a lot of people, they think of Chase and they think of, well, that's the guy who can dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a dunker, he's crazy, but Chase Skinkis is a great all-around basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's smart, he's cerebral, he can shoot. He's a great teammate. Like you said, he can guard anybody on the floor, and he plays hard. I mean, he literally was playing on that Sunday. He could barely walk.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you going to do? And he's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to eat and drink anything. But he'll literally play till he can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
So, and you know, all these guys on this list, every guy we picked, they're all super hyper competitive guys, which just speaks to their greatness too. So I can't argue with Chase.
Yeah.
Great pick.
Yeah. I've mentioned the dedication. I just want to talk a little bit more about that national tournament. So first off, Chase is, you know, a Vegas guy, plays in the Vegas tournament every single year, but you know, they've come out to New York the last 2 years now, which we appreciate, you know, taking the long flights, the 3 hour time zone switch.
Yep.
And then, you know, The Villains don't play as well as they do on Saturday. They have to play a play-in game Sunday morning, and they win that one. And we always knew that they had the talent to make somewhat of a run. But I'm like, they're not going to make it all the way to the championship game. They're going to eventually falter. They'll play someone better than them, or you know, they just won't have the amount of guys. And lo and behold, they're playing FMB in that title game. Of course, they end up losing. But you know, we talked to Chase afterwards, and you know, he's got the massager before the game. He's yeah. I just like, can you even play? And he's like, you know, I'll make sure I get out there. And he played, and he played his ass off. And I think afterwards he said, like, after the four games, he'd lost over 10 pounds.
Yes.
Which is just absurd to think about. But like, playing in national tournaments all the time, playing in leagues all this, you know, every single season. You know, the guy's just dedicated, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Great pick. So for my last pick, I'm going to take Anthony Bird.
Okay.
Great pick. You know, I think for Anthony, I think his game, unfortunately, got a little overshadowed by Paris in those two real championship games between them and the Bulls, you know. But people forget the Decision won the national championship
yeah.
one year, too.
They beat Chase Kinskis's the Mob.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Anthony's game, I think, for me, is similar to Paris's. You know, he can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot. You know, he's another high percentage guy, 63% from the field, 58% from deep. When I think of Colorado basketball, sounds cliche, it's Anthony Bird. And he's, you know, he's over 35. He's over 35. I think he was 40 at his first national tournament.
Wild.
And, you know, he's the personification of never retire. He's just an amazing basketball player, and he's going to fit perfectly on my squad.
Yeah, and he was someone that I was almost surprised that I picked myself for the all-decade team, just because, you know, I haven't had as much experience with Anthony. I wasn't there in 2013 or 2014, but I've seen him play at the national level. And, you know, there are certain guys that are just, they're too good to pass up. And I was going to just take him right before, but I was like, he'll take Chase, and then maybe he won't take Bird. But, you know, he ended up stealing that one from me too. But, yeah. But it's just so interesting because he dominates in Colorado. He's played 20 seasons in Colorado, and he has 13 championships. So over half the seasons he's played, he's won the title there. But to me, it was the national numbers. Anyone that's won a tournament MVP is certainly, you know, in the UH lexicon, you know, a legend at this point. Going toe to toe with Paris in these games, you know, coming just close in that 2013 title run. And, I'd mentioned the numbers in the piece. You know, he's every single national tournament he's played at, he's played well. And in that MVP season, he didn't miss. So just like you said, the competitiveness of him going up against the best player in Ultimate Hoops probably at the time and being just as good as him is just incredible. So
future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, well, he's got to get to the game. That's it. He's got to make sure he gets the amount of games.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And he'll be in. But would love to see Tony Bird at more more national tournaments for sure.
Good.
All right. So that leaves me in a hole because it's the last few guys I have to consider. This is going to be a guard heavy team. I don't really know if we're going to be able to play. We got guys that can play post defense, but you know, at least you don't have anyone that's like 7 feet tall. So I think my team will be doing all right. I'm in between two different guys, and I gotta make a tough decision here. But I'll go McKenzie Golfin. You know, you have your reason for why you had Johnny ahead of McKenzie, and I'll let you get into that. But just wanted to talk about McKenzie a little bit first. Obviously, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know who McKenzie Golfin is. Obviously, everyone in Detroit knows the legend of McKenzie Golfin, you know, the all-time leading scorer in Ultimate Hoops, and it's not close. He's got almost a 2,000-point lead over Vaughn Gray. And, you know, a lot of the times with these national tournaments, you look at the numbers and you look, it's like, oh, well, you know, this guy's scoring 20 plus points a game. He's the highest score, you know, the highest score in Ultimate Hoops history. And I was like, but is it legit? Yeah. And I've seen him play national tournaments and yeah, it's legit. I mean, he's shooting 55% in his career, 45% from deep. I've seen him make game winners at the national level. I've seen him go up against great competition, great talent. He's always bringing his A game at those tournaments. It's unfortunate Wiley's never been able to make quite that deep a run. And again, like you said, sometimes they got guys at 6'1 playing center. They haven't quite had the pieces, but yeah. They look like they're always having fun playing together. They always work well together. I love seeing McKenzie, Johnny, and Vaughn get to form teams like that. And again, I mean, he's been playing over, I think he just reached his 750th game. He's been playing since 2009. I mean, this guy's dedicated to Ultimate Hoops. There's no one that's scored as much as him. He's in top five in other categories too. And then he can slot in, he can play on ball, be a point guard, he can play off the ball, he can shoot the lights out. So, again, McKenzie, I'll slot on my team any day.
Yeah, great pick. I mean, similar thing for me between Jansen and Paris. I kind of thought, well, you're going to have McKenzie, so I'll take Johnny. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one knock on McKenzie, and it's a very small one, is I think, I don't know if it was this year or last year, but he didn't show up for a national tournament game.
It was this year.
It was this year.
It was this past year.
And listen, that's the test of going out in Vegas, is can you control your off-court game as much as your on-court game as well? And I don't know the circumstances. It could have just, his alarm didn't go off.
Yeah, he told me he just overslept. That.
Which is totally
what made him oversleep. I don't know. But he said, you know, his alarm went off a few times, didn't get it, and didn't show up for the game, unfortunately. But
yeah, and then I remember Johnny being there like an hour before his game. I'm thinking, okay, he's just cemented himself on my squad.
It is funny because I wouldn't disqualify McKenzie from that. He still played in over 20 plus national tournament games. But we talked about Kobe at the start of this podcast, and that seems like that's a move where, like, if this guy misses a game, it's like, you're never playing for my team again. Like, I don't care how good you are. You're the all-time leading scorer. It's like, sorry, man. Like, you don't make the cut. So, all right. So just to round it out here, your team, Paris Kiles, Mike Mastro, Johnny Brown, Fred Dudley, and Anthony Bird. My team, Christian Bauer, Ryan Jansen, Tunde Ogunleye, Chase Skinkis, and Mackenzie Golfin.
Yes, and I'll add these rosters in the show notes this episode as well. I'll link up to Luke's article that he wrote, to give more context and background on these teams. I mean, this was fun, Luke. Do you think we could ever actually get these two teams to play against each other?
It would be really tough. A lot of these guys do play pretty consistently at national tournaments, but, you know, like for a guy like Mastro, he's never been out to Vegas. It's a lot harder. It would be impossible to have it happen in New York, you'd think, with the only one court, and, you know, a lot of guys, it's a tough trip to make. So
yeah,
who knows? You know, I'll never say never. I'd love to actually see it. Just by the way, we'll also put up a poll on UH365 to really decide who had the better team. Put one up on Twitter as well at Ultimate Hoops. So we'd love to hear feedback from everyone out there, and just, you know, make sure you vote for my team.
But yeah. Okay. Luke, this was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
love
man.
Doing it, Alan.
Let's plan on doing this 10 years from now again. Yeah. All right.
I'm already working on my 2030 list. So.
All right. Thanks, man. Thank you for downloading and listening to this week's episode of the Ultimate Hoops Podcast. Say, if you can do us a favor and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show, it would really mean a lot to us. You can leave a review, a rating. It'll just help us raise awareness for the show and what we're doing here at Ultimate Hoops and at Lifetime. If you'd like to join one of our recreational leagues across the nation or learn how to get started in a customized basketball training program, go to uhlife.com to learn how to get started. Thanks to our sponsors and Lifetime for supporting the podcast. We'll have an all-new episode next Friday. Until then, keep playing and never retire.